Your soul ought to crave for something sweet. And so you know what I got? I got a sweet tooth for the word. When I hear them nuggets from the word, and I say, man, that's some good drippings, but I'm not satisfied with a drip here and a drip there. I need to get the whole honeycomb. And sometimes you may get stung trying to get the bees honey, but I think I'll take it anyway, because even after I'm stung, I know the sweetness of the honey will satisfy me, and I forget about the sting, I forget about the swelling, because I know one day it's going down, but the honey's still sweet to me. Oh, come on and say yeah. See, we gotta be sacrificial in order for you to get that honey. You gotta be sacrificial. You gotta take a chance, baby. You gotta say, I'm gonna step out, and hopefully I don't get stung, but if I do get stung, at least I got the honeycomb. Come on and say amen. At least I got something to prove that I've been through it. I didn't steal it. Somebody say amen. I didn't get it from him or her, but I got it through a lesson I learned. Now I know how to handle the bees and still get the honey. What are you talking about here? The bees are like the devil. He's waiting to sting you to make you run the other way. But because I want the honey so bad, because I want the honeycomb so bad, I'm hungry and I'm thirsty after the honeycomb. And because I want it so bad, I don't care if I gotta climb a tree, I'm gonna get my honey. I don't care if I have to go through the bush, I'm gonna get my honeycomb. Don't care if I have to tear the wall down, I'm gonna get my honeycomb. So in order for me to get the word, I don't care how far I gotta drive, I'm gonna get my honeycomb. I don't care if I gotta sit through a long service, but I'm gonna stay till I get my honeycomb. I gotta be satisfied by the word. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there's great reward. We need to know that by the word of God, he warns us. Yes, he does. And guess what? But if we keep his word, if we receive his word, he said there's great reward. One scripture tells us that there's a re-reward. Means that he rewards you, then he rewards you again. I'm all for rewards. You know, sometimes you get, everybody can get an award. Oh, come on and say amen. They got perfect attendance awards. I showed up. So you can get an award. But when we start talking about a reward, that means you did something to excel. You went above and beyond. You got something that other folks couldn't get. Come on and say amen.
We know your hearts have burned within by the message of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries of Natchitoches, Louisiana. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. Our church is located 1401 Welch Street, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Again, Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Our service times are 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship and Bible study on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. We would love to see you and hear from you. Our doors are open. Living Word Ministries radio broadcast can be heard every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 11:30 a.m. until 12 noon. Continuous blessings. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. and Living Word Ministries, thank you for your support.
This is KAYT. Gina Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1 KAYT. Praising the Lord.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel. This is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II, preaching the uncompromised Word of God Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's Word for your life today.
Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19. I call heaven and earth against to record this day against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life that thou and thy seed may live. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. This word is about choices. Every day of our lives, we make choices. The choices we make today will affect us not only today, but in the future. It's important to understand how your choices affect you in every sense of the word. The small choices, not so small choices, large choices alike, they all have corresponding consequences. One of the things that I want you to understand, though historically this word was for Israel, Moses is speaking prophetically, and it's not only for Israel, but it's for the believers today to understand and to comprehend what God is saying in this message. Moses is getting ready to leave the scene. This is the fifth book of the law called the Pentateuch. And Moses, in this book of Deuteronomy, is revisiting the covenant relationship with the people of God, reminding them in the fourth chapter of their statutes to remember, and the promises of God in chapter 11 and verse, and chapter 27 and chapter 28, all before he gets to chapter 30. And he's dealing with them, understanding their role and responsibility as it relates to their choices. He reminds them that God is holding them to a higher standard than the other nations of the world. They are God's chosen people in covenant relationship with God. They are the people of God whom the Lord himself has entered into covenant with them. He has promised to do some things, but he's holding them responsible for doing what they are supposed to do. And my brothers and sisters, many times we blame God for our covenant issues. When God said he'll do this or he'll do that, sometimes when it doesn't happen when we think it ought to happen, we think that God has backed up on his promise. But I got news for you. He's already declared he's not a man that he should lie. If there is an issue, here's a helpful holy hint. Check yourself. Check your choices. See what you have said. See what you have done. See how that has affected your covenant relationship. One of the things, again, you will note that as Moses is getting ready to leave the scene, he's going to die. God's going to bury him so that the children of Israel don't take his bones over into the promised land, because God spoke to Moses, told him to speak to the rock that the water might come forth, but he got mad, agitated, and aggravated by the people and their issues. He struck the rock and water came forth, but it wasn't the way God wanted it. He wanted him to speak it. And watch the fulfillment of God's word unfold right before their eyes. I've learned you can let folk, if you want to, get you to the point where you disobey God. You can let folk make you mad, agitated, and aggravated because they want to act up. You've got to realize you are committed to God and responsible to God and will answer to God. And Moses recognized that, and he's reminding the people with a sense of urgency and immensity in his message, get yourselves together. Now look at what he says. In verse 15, he reminds them that God puts before them life and good and death and evil. Then when you join that down with verse 19, you'll see that he adds blessing and cursing. Now, if you look at this, and I think it's important for you to understand, because as Moses used contrast, heaven and earth, this is what God said. He said life and death. He says good and evil. He says blessings and cursing. Now, at the end of that, he says, choose life. Make the choice to live the way God wants you to live. At the level of blessings, at the level of obedience, at the level of prosperity, at the level of walking in his word, will, and way, that all things will be well with you. Listen to this, because when he says, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, he's talking about a call to respond. A call to respond. Now here's the sense here. This word record comes out of the issue of jurisprudence. It is a legalistic word, record or record. God is saying one day you're going to have to answer in judgment. When that day comes, I'm going to remind you that Moses told you what I said. And I'm going to call heaven and earth as a witness against you. And I'm going to pronounce final judgment. And there will not be an appeals court. When I make my judgment, it will be final. And so when you recognize, you can't say that no one told you, because he'll say, come here, heaven, testify on the day in question. What did I tell Moses to tell his people? And he'll say, sir, that you set life and death, blessing and cursing before the people, and you told them to choose life. And when they come up with whatever answer it's going to be, God says he will have earth to come and be the backup witness. And the same will hold true. And whatever your end will be, listen, it will be because of your choice. So he said, I'm going to have heaven and earth to call and respond. But then he talks about choices are required in this same verse, because he makes clear that life, listen, is a choice. Now this is interesting, because he's not talking about birth, because they were already born. They were already here. So what life is he talking about? I'm glad you asked. He's talking about a spiritual life. He's talking about life in relationship with God, in understanding the life that God wants them to have. Continue to understand that in this choice, Moses is speaking prophetically because it comes all the way down to Calvary and Jesus Christ being the ultimate choice of life for mankind, for us today. But there again, it began with helping the children of Israel to understand God's plan. Then secondly, or thirdly rather, he tells them, as he counsels them, to choose life, so that he counsels them and he registers it. Why is that important? Because Moses is giving them a helpful, holy hint as to what they should do. You know, there are a whole lot of folk act like they know what to do, and yet many times they don't know what to do, which way to turn, what to say, how to go. They need a leader. And Moses steps up and says, choose life. So, well, I'm already living. But the Bible says there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the ends there are the ways of death. You think you're living life, doing what you're doing, going where you're going, acting the way you're acting. All of the things that go contrary to the word and the will and the way of God. You think you've got life. You think you're on top. But what you don't understand is the world keeps on turning. And the stuff that you're trusting in, believing in, the friends that you think you have, the folk you think are on your side, you're going to see as life keeps on turning, things aren't as they appear. And so he wants you to have true life, the source of life, God himself, to be that that we trust and depend on. And so he says, choose life. But then listen to what he says. In that he says, blessings and curses. So my choice is life or death, good or evil, blessings and curses. Now let me just tell you something about blessings and curses, because everybody say they want blessings, but they don't want to do nothing for them. Matter of fact, even the sinner want to be blessed. People, high people, low people, rich people, poor people, educated people, uneducated, etc. Everybody want to be blessed. I don't know nobody that don't want to be blessed. That may exist some, but I don't know them. But listen to this. God says you choose blessings or cursings. Now, what I left out was you can only choose one on each line. If you choose life, you can't choose and death. It's or death. If you choose good, you can't choose evil with it. Those are just the choices. If you choose blessings, you can't choose curses. They don't go together. But there's some folk, and I know you know them, who will bless you one minute and cuss you the next one. James 3:10 says, out of the mouth proceeded blessings and cursings. Brethren, talking about church folk, God's folk, the people of God, those things ought not so to be. You can't be hollering, praise the Lord, I be. Done stepped on my foot, done knocked my head off, done what? You can't be on one side one minute and on the other side the other minute. That suggests that you've got two different entities functioning on the inside of you. And I got news for you. If Satan is on the inside, you, God ain't in you. One can't dwell with the other. So It's got to be one way or the other. And so we got to make up our mind what side we really want. If you look at life, good, and blessings on one side, on the other side is death, evil, and cursings. There's a light side and a dark side. There's a right side and a wrong side. The choice is yours. Listen, I know we all have made mistakes. Matter of fact, I just want to see the hands of people who will be real. Have you ever done anything you were sorry you did? Have you ever made some choices you wish you wouldn't have made? Have you ever made your mind up and did something you knew was not what God wanted you to do, but you did it anyhow? Okay, I just wanted to keep us honest here. We made some bad choices. But what we don't understand is sometimes it don't take but one bad choice to mess up the rest of our lives. Sometimes what you don't realize is when your life is all messed up, it don't take but one right choice to straighten it out. Take the prodigal son. He made one bad choice that sent him on a downward spiral. When he got down as low as he could go, he came to himself. And he realized that the reason he was not in a palace but in a pig's pen is because of the choice he made to get his goods and take his journey in a far country and spend all of his money with rioters living, but bowed down on his luck. He thought about what he left behind. And he said, how many hired servants have my father? And I perish with want. He said, I will get myself together. And he made one choice. He said, I will go back to my father and say to my father, Father, I have sinned. I have sinned and am no longer against heaven and against thee. And am no longer worthy to be thy son, but make me as one of thy hired servants. Listen at this now. He took responsibility for his choice. And from that point, when he took responsibility, it turned his whole world around, and he went back home, and because he made the right choice, his father was waiting on him. When his father saw him, his father fell on his neck and kissed him and told his servant, listen, bring him a robe, bring him slippers, bring him a ring, kill the fatted calf, for this is my son that was lost and now he's found. He was dead, but he's alive again. All because of one choice. What am I saying? I'm saying to somebody here today, you made a bad choice. And you paid dearly for that bad choice. But the glory of the gospel is, you don't have to stay in that bad choice. You can do something about it today. Our problem is we always want to blame somebody else for our outcome. Yes, somebody else might have been a part of the party, but we threw it. It was your party. Don't get mad because folk don't want to clean up after your party. They're going on about their business. Talking about you help me drink my wine. You help me spend my money. You help me do this here. Yeah, but I didn't volunteer for the cleanup after. And how many folk have left you after the party with a cleanup ministry? And then listen, he reminds him of the consequences that remain. He says that thou and thy seed may live. Choose life, that thou and thy seed may live. Listen, this is one of the areas where we see how generational curses pass on. Or blessings. Blessings. There are things that your parents, grandparents, and great-great-grandparents have done that keep coming down the line because nobody broke that curse. If the Bible says that thou and thy seed may live if they choose life, then if they choose by consequence the other, it infers if they choose death, then thou and thy seed will what? Die. If you choose good, then good will follow down the line. If you choose blessings, then blessings will follow down the line. But if you choose death and evil and cursings, they don't stop with you. But thanks be to God, we've got the power to break generational curses. Hallelujah. 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 There's some things you're doing, you don't even know why you're doing it. It's a curse on you from generations before, and you are just in that seed line. That curse has entered into your DNA structure. It's been coded in you, and so it happens automatically. You didn't have to choose it. It chose you when your parents, godparents, grandparents, and great made the choice. But because of grace, somebody ought to say, thank God for grace. I can break the curse that's on my life, that's in my generation. Thank God for Jesus, who gave us that authority. See, that's why the finished work of Christ is so important, because all of the things that happened before you, even including what you chose to do, Jesus paid the price at Calvary. Look at what he says, John 10:10. The thief cometh not but for to steal, kill, and destroy. But I am come that you might have life, and that more abundantly. Look what he says. John 11:25, and this is to help anybody understand that even though you feel your situation has died, look at what he said, I am the resurrection and the life. I like that, because he doesn't just raise you up from the dead and let you continue like you used to be. He raises you from the dead and he gives you life, energizes you. He gives you that ability to live beyond what caused you to die. Move on to John 14, verse 6. I am the way.